on there. So we'll just briefly pray for them and pray for some of these other things that we've been praying for this week. God's been doing a number of good things. And there's a bunch of people, lots of people on Zoom today because of sickness and maybe away or power outages, possibly, who knows. But it was an interesting yesterday afternoon. So let's just pray for these things, and then we'll look in the Word for a few minutes. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for everyone chipping in today and helping out in putting ministry together. Pray for Justin and Mandy right now and Myla. Pray that's nothing serious. Pray that it's something that's easily fixed, easily been able to look after. And just watch over them. Pray for them. We know what it's like when our kids are sick and they can't communicate it clearly to us when they're small. So as parents and grandparents, it's a toughie. It's a toughie. So we pray for them. Thank you for Sheila being home, Steve's surgery. Thank you for the good news for Matt and Emily. Lord, lots of good stuff this week. And continued prayer for all these folks to continue to recover and strengthen and babies to grow and all these things. Father, we're glad that you're in charge of all this and that we can leave these things in your hands, and you are more than capable of doing all that we can't even imagine that you can do. So we thank you. And even as Tracy shared her story, Lord, we're thankful for the grace of yourself in our lives. You are an amazing God. And we are just so wonderfully thankful for that and for salvation. And may we have opportunities to share Jesus, maybe even this week, with others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go to Acts 15. We're in Acts 15. We're going to look at the last six verses. Acts 15, verses 36 to 41. All right, get my Bible. Look on straight on here. All right, Acts 15, 36. So sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing." Barnabas wanted to take John, also called Mark, with them, but Paul did not think it wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. They had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus, but Paul chose Silas and left, commended by the brothers to the grace of the Lord. He went through Syria and Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And initially, I was going to go to verse 10 in my sermon schedule, but I thought I'll just cut it short for today. And again, you can't really stop there. It continues. But you know, as we were listening to Tracy's sharing her story, how God's worked in her life, you know, it's obvious that there are multiple people that God uses to not just bring us to Christ, but to help us to grow in Christ. And God grows a church collectively through all kinds of people, numerous individuals like ourselves, to make us more mature in Jesus. And of course, what's God's goal for us? It's spiritual growth. It's conformity to Jesus Christ. When you and I confessed our sins and our need for Jesus' forgiveness, who alone paid for our sins, we received his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which began a new work in us that God says in Philippians 1:6, that he will complete it on the day that Christ Jesus returns. And none of us were saved to grow alone. We were saved into the body of Christ, called his church, and we fellowship, worship, and study in localized geographical bodies of believers. And so we need each other. We all have a role to play in each other's spiritual maturity. And it's kind of neat that I can't be there physically, even though I'm like 30 feet away. And I feel fine, by the way, you know, that, you know, here we have an example already this morning in our own church family of the church family coming together, all different roles, so that we can worship together. So last week, we're in the first part of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas, right, met with the other apostles and the elders in Jerusalem, and there was an issue, big issue. Gentiles are getting saved, but there are some Jewish brothers with Pharisaic background, legalistic background, who are going around saying that Gentiles had to be Jewish converts first in order to be part of the, in order to be saved, literally in order to be saved. So it was a huge discussion, like, what is, how is salvation defined? Is salvation by faith in Jesus alone, or is it salvation by faith plus the law? So Peter shared, Paul shared, etc. And they agreed, no, Gentiles do not have to be circumcised. They do not have to follow the Jewish laws. And Peter said it bang on. He said, why would we make the Gentiles do something God never required for us as Jews to have faith in, like, salvation? It doesn't come through the law. It doesn't come through works. It comes through faith and faith alone in Jesus. The only request was that as they grow and mature in Christ, that their lifestyle choices change, because many Gentiles came out of pagan backgrounds, which involved strange rituals, sacrifices, eating blood in the meat, strangling sacrifices. These things were totally detestable to Jewish principles. And so they said, hey, you know, these are things that you need to mature and grow in. And that's obvious, right? I mean, as we accept Christ as our Savior, we should be maturing and growing, and we should see changes in our life. We should see changes in our life. And that's the first point we want to make here about Paul and Barnabas and Mark and Silas. Before we talk about even the disagreement, you know, we'll talk about, like, Paul and Barnabas want to go back and revisit the churches where they had planted initially in Galatia. And the neat thing is, they don't assume that everyone is growing spiritually. Don't assume everyone is growing spiritually. And I mean believers, all right? So after the Jerusalem Council, right, Paul and Barnabas stayed in Antioch, taught and preached the word of God, verse 35. Verse 36 says, they say, let's go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of God and see how they're doing. Like, what a great statement, right? See how they're doing. You know, how are they growing? How are they faring under persecution? How is the church dealing with the Gentile, Jewish issue? Barnabas agreed, of course, because they cared, right? They cared about these brothers and sisters in Christ. And when you care, you get involved. Making disciples, okay, making disciples doesn't mean get decisions for Jesus, okay? It means leading them to Christ, Matthew 28, baptizing them, i.e., you know, what's the growth process, and teaching them to obey everything Jesus commanded. Well, I haven't taught you everything Jesus has commanded yet, so in other words, it's going to take a lifetime. It's a lifetime process of teaching us to grow in Jesus. And so Paul and Barnabas want to go back, and they care, so they go. And that's another thing. Like, there's always a going, right? There's always a going when you want to help people grow spiritually. It can be as basic as going to your phone or keyboard and sending a message, but it needs to move to personal time, right, with people. If we want each other to grow, we have to go. We have to go to be with them. We have to spend time with them. We'll go because we care, okay? So Paul and Barnabas did not assume the church is growing. They said, hey, what difference does it make? We made people, we saved, look at all the people we saved. Paul's like, no, we, how are they doing? You know, how are they doing? Are they growing? And so they want to be intentional about seeing how people were doing. And that's an area we can all improve in, right? You know, how are you doing? How are you doing? Can we ask one another good questions like, what are you doing for maintaining your spiritual growth? Who are you getting together with for mutual encouragement? What are you reading right now in your Bible? Well, what other good Christian books are you reading that's helping you mature and grow in Jesus? How can we pray for you? Can we pray with you, right? Can we pray? Hey, let's pray together, okay? Like, those are good, how are you doing questions that we should be asking each other, you know, whenever we get together, or, you know, just be intentional in saying, hey, haven't seen you in a while. Maybe I've been away or you've been away or whatever. Say, hey, how's it going? You okay? We miss you. Everything all right? How are you doing? How are you doing spiritually? I want to look at the book of Hebrews just for a second, if you want to turn there, if you have your Bibles open. So the book of Hebrews, you say, what's the opposite of growth? You know, we think, well, it's probably disobedience. Well, not really. See, Hebrews 2 tells us what the opposite of growth is. And so Hebrews 2 verse 1 says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. I mean, drifting, right? Drifting is easy. Ever been out on a little thing, you're floating along and you don't think there's much of a current and you're just sitting there, you know where the beach shore is and you just sort of lay there. And after a while, you're like, oh my goodness, look how far away I am. You know, you're halfway down the shore and you can't even make out where you had put your blanket and stuff like that. You know, when we stop reading our Bibles, you know, drifting is easy, right? Stop reading your Bible, just miss worshiping together, just stop being involved, and we get used to it. I mean, it's absolutely easy to do. And we're not really rebelling, we're just not doing anything. And so we do what? We drift. Look at chapter 5. So in chapter 5, he's teaching them about Jesus. And he says in verse 8, okay, in the middle of verse 8, he says about Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, and was designated by God to be high priest in the order of Melchizedek. But then he says this, you know, we have much to say about Melchizedek and Jesus, but it's hard to explain, he says, because you're slow to learn. In fact, though the best, by this time, you want to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, chapter 6, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation, the ABCs, literally, of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction of baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. So the writer had some deeper truths he wanted to share with his readers, but because they had spiritually drifted and weren't growing as they should have, he says, we got to go back to grade one. We got to go back to the basics. Now, there's nothing wrong with reviewing the basic truths of the faith. Absolutely. We do it all the time. But when you can't get beyond that because you're not growing, you're not reading, you're not studying, you're not fellowshipping, you're not worshiping, then Paul, the author of Hebrews says here, he says, like, you're drifting and you don't even know it. You just stopped doing things. You just stopped paying attention to your spiritual walk with God. So Paul and Barnabas, they want to revisit the churches. They had started to help. They want to help these disciples mature in Jesus. And there were other people involved too. Okay, you got Mark and you got Silas. So before we talk about their disagreement, let's acknowledge here, you know, that they needed more people. And it takes everyone to grow a church. And so we all have a role and we are all gifted. We all have a role. We're all gifted to help do the work that God has called us to do. You know, you've probably read the New Testament enough to realize that Paul never worked alone. He always partners with others in the work of God. He saw the value of team ministry, shared responsibilities. God saves us and equips us to help each other grow. Now, Paul's going to struggle to take Mark along at this time, but before we're done this morning, we're going to see that Mark and Paul reunite later on and reconcile, okay? So, you know, spoiler alert, okay? Now, 1 Corinthians 12, okay? We're not going to go there, but you're probably familiar with it. Paul talks about the body of Christ, and he uses a physical body as an analogy that, like a physical body, a spiritual body of believers, every part is necessary to do the work that God has called us to do. I like Romans 16. In Romans 16, Paul sends this exciting list of greetings to people that he knows, but that he's worked with. And so he says, hey, you know, say hi to so-and-so. He was useful for me. He helped me. He ministered with me. They have a church here, et cetera, et cetera. And so Paul saw the value and the role that each part of the body has. But we're not perfect, are we? And so as we see here, because of our sin nature, we sometimes disagree about people's roles or involvement. And so Barnabas wants to take Mark, but Paul doesn't. You know, Paul didn't think it wise to take him because Mark had deserted them in Pamphylia and did not continue with them in the work. And they had a sharp disagreement and they parted company. I mean, this is sharp disagreement. This is serious, serious stuff. You know, back in chapter 13, if you remember, right, Barnabas, Paul, and Mark, they set out, they went to Cyprus, they went through the island of Cyprus. They had some interesting ministry stuff there, including a sorcerer. And so by the time they finished that ministry, they headed north back to the mainland up to Turkey. And that's when Mark says, left them and returned to Jerusalem. And Paul says he deserted us. He abandoned us. He quit on us. I don't want to take that guy along. Barnabas says, yeah, we can take Mark. As we're going to see in Colossians 4, Barnabas is actually a cousin of Mark, right? So like he's family. I got to take him, right? But so Barnabas, what's his nickname? Son of encouragement, right? Son of encouragement. And so Barnabas and Paul, who worked together for a while and have been buddies, they have a sharp disagreement. This is a very serious issue. Who was right? Luke is very careful in his writing to give us no indication as to one or the other is incorrect or correct. And it's hard to say if either of them was right or wrong, but when we work together with fellow sin-natured Christians, right, we're going to disagree at times on how things get done, not necessarily on why or what we're doing. We all agree, as Paul and Barnabas agreed, on the mission, but, right, they disagreed on how it's done. So Paul's not sure, hey, I don't know if we can count on Mark again. And so here's something we need to understand when we're working together. When we're working together, we need spiritual wisdom, when to show grace, and when to exercise discernment. Remember, Barnabas is known as a son of encouragement. Mark is his cousin. He's going to side with Mark most likely. Barnabas is that, hey, let's give him a second chance type of guy, right? And Paul knew that this is serious stuff, you know, ministering, sharing the gospel. I mean, Paul almost died on that trip, okay? So maybe Mark got scared. Maybe that sorcerer business freaked him out. Who knows, right? He left and he went back to Jerusalem. And Paul's probably thinking, I don't have time to babysit the Marks, okay? Now, would both of them have had good arguments for not taking Mark or for taking Mark? I mean, here's two verses that can show both sides. All right. 1 Peter 4:8. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Okay. Hey, Paul, forgive, move on, give him a chance. If you truly love him, you'll forgive him, brother. All right. That's one side. But Paul also wrote in 1 Timothy 3, when he was giving instructions about raising leaders, all right? He said in 1 Timothy 3:8, talking about deacons, he says, deacons likewise are to be men worthy of respect, sincere, not indulging much wine, not pursuing dishonest gain. They must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith with a clear conscience. They must first be tested. And then if there is nothing against them, let them serve as deacons. So Paul held to a standard that said you shouldn't put untested people in leadership positions. So Paul's point of view would have been what? Mark failed the test. He blew it, right? I'm not really ready to put him in another leadership position because he failed. I mean, again, 1 Peter 4, 8, good verse. 1 Timothy 3, 10, right? Yeah, good verse. How do you know what to do sometimes? And so Barnabas takes Mark, gives him a second chance. Paul takes Silas. They go in a different direction. But here's the thing. We do know that Mark is going to grow. He's going to grow from his early mistakes, and he's going to be found to have grown tremendously over time. So if you have your Bible still open, look at Colossians 4. So here's one of those neat verses in the Bible. You're like, oh, I'm so glad these are in the Bible, because it's like it finishes the story. So Colossians 4, verse 10, end of Colossians, Paul's giving one of those greeting things, right? My fellow prisoner, Aristarchus, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. So this is a few years later. And he says, you have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Which one, Mark or Barnabas? I think he's Mark. It doesn't matter either way. It's kind of, if you receive instructions about him, why? Well, we heard that Paul and Barnabas and Mark, like there was this division between them. And Paul's like, yeah, we've got over it. I've asked forgiveness. You know, Mark has grown. He's asked forgiveness, right? He says in verse 11, a man named Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. So he's including Mark and Barnabas in this, right? So Paul saw the value of Mark later on. Under Barnabas's encouragement, Mark matures, and Paul acknowledges that. And one more, 2 Timothy 4, verse 9. I know some of you know where I'm going. Okay, 2 Timothy 4, 9. I think I put that in the notes. Paul's last words, like literally, he's going to die shortly after he writes 2 Timothy. And he writes to Timothy, he's in prison. He's in a lousy place. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. Here's that word again, by the way. Mark's desertion was not quite the same. And has gone to he has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark. Like, this is his kind of like his dying words. Get Mark and bring him with you, because helpful to me in my ministry. You know, maybe Paul was a little hard on Mark early on. I don't know, right? But to his credit, he forgave. He saw the value of Mark. And he said, this guy is useful to me. I want him with me. So praise God, right? Here's another testimony in scripture, right? Praise God for this testimony. And Barnabas and Mark, they would revisit the churches in Cyprus, okay? While Paul and Silas go to the churches in Galatia. And God is sovereign, that he overrides our weaknesses when we agree on the mission. God can override our stubbornness and disagreements at times to do far more than we can imagine. You know, thankfully, Paul and Barnabas were committed to the ministry of encouraging believers and helping them grow in Christ-likeness. That was not something they would disagree on. And God used their disagreement to reach more people and reconcile all of them over time. And we could wrongly think, okay, let's have more disagreements so we can reach more people. No, that's not the path to go, okay? But who knows, right? If it wasn't for Barnabas, we may not have the gospel of Mark in our Bibles. So the passage began with Paul and Barnabas wanting to go back and strengthen the believers, and it ends with them doing just that. Maybe in a way that wasn't planned, but God, who's pretty good at this stuff, right, arranged. And so you and I, we need to stay focused on the mission of always making disciples, you know, getting people saved, obviously, but that, you know, it doesn't end there. It starts there, you know, helping people become more like Jesus. And that's our mutual responsibility together. We all have different roles. We all have different gifts. And somehow God uses it all to help us all mature in Christ. We need to make sure we don't let one another drift away. And it can happen too easily. You know, if the Spirit of God is nudging you to call someone to visit, you know, to ask how they're doing, like do it, right? If you need direction for spiritual growth, ask for it. If we are, you know, if we're responsible for each other's Christ-likeness, then let's use our times when we are together to see how we're doing and to do what we can to make us all a little bit more like Jesus today than we were yesterday. Let's pray. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for working things out. I'm assuming I'm not talking to myself this morning and that the congregation is hearing this. And I thank you for technology working. Thank you for Tracy's story. Thank you for all of our stories, Father. Each one of us has unique stories, and yet each one of us is somewhat the same. You know, different people, combinations of different people you use to bring us to Christ and to mature us in Christ. You know, we've heard it takes a community to raise a child. Well, it takes a community to raise a disciple, a community of believers. And help us not to think of ourselves only as we get together, but we think of ourselves as, I mentioned an email last night, the Hebrews 10, 24, 25 verse, that we not forsake the assembling of one another, but when we do assemble, when we come together, when we purposely want to come together, we come together for the sake of encouraging one another. How are we doing? How are you growing? How can we pray for each other? Father, I pray that you would continue to do a work in us and help us to grow and mature in Jesus, in whose name we always pray. Amen. I know the Dawes had to leave. I would like to make a suggestion because Shelley was already warming up on the piano before the service and playing some hymns. I don't know if you want to play number 169. I think it's 169 because he lives. I think that's what the one Bruce was wanting to play. It's in the hymn book, or Peter, you can look for it on the PowerPoint. It's a suggestion. If not, I'll turn it over to you, George, to close either way. Thanks. If you want to say hi to me on the porch, I'll be outside on the Royal Pavilion from the front here.